Thanks very much. All righty. Psalms 104. And this week there's a couple of things that just sprung out at me. I don't think I'm going to be very long this morning, which, you know how that goes. But in all seriousness, because there are just some thoughts that sprang from this. I want you to see verse 33, Psalm 104. And the psalmist says, "I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth. Let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord." One more here, Psalm 146. Keep a finger in Psalm 104. 146. Much along the same lines, verse 1. "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being." You find "my being" in Psalm 104, 33, and "any being" in 146, 2. Father, we come to you this morning with these thoughts. And again, a good day yesterday. We rejoice in what we've seen happen these recent weeks. And my own son getting married down in Pensacola. Father, the talks we were able to have down there just with men I haven't seen for a while and all those things. We pray that you might bless now as we close out just our relationship with Ian, and we know Bryce and Marcella struggle. We pray that you might give us something this morning to go on for, Father. And may you give us a maybe just alter vision just a little bit on just how bad being damned is, just how bad being lost is. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was focused. I caught this, and I did some research on this, and I find it to be a unique usage of the Bible using these words. In Psalm 104:33, the psalmist again says, "I will sing praise to my God while I have my being." And in Psalm 146, he says, "any being." Now, usually with the word "being," throughout the Bible, there's 290 or something occurrences. It's almost always talking about somebody being so old, or being somewhere, or being in some state. And so this is those two usages, as best I could research it, are kind of unique to the Bible. Again, David says, "while I have my being," while I have any being. So I'm preaching to you this morning on being. The soliloquy in Hamlet, and I wouldn't want you to think I'm some sort of Shakespearean expert by any stretch, because I'm not, and I don't even like it, but whatever. The soliloquy in Hamlet is, of course, "to be or not to be, that is the question," etc., etc. Hamlet there is making reference, weighing values of life versus death, and so on. One thing that's been proven is that man is notorious for not understanding death. Shakespeare didn't understand death, as far as I know. Men look at death as totally a mortal thing, and so to be or not to be, to live or not to live, and that kind of thing. It's not. We know it's not that simple. And when David said it, David says, "I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being." He knows that he's saved. He knows that he's a saint. He knows that this being and his song is not going to just stop when he dies. Because he's going to, and presumably he knew what we know, I guess he did, that David's going to rise again according to Ezekiel 34 and 37 and reign once again in Israel. So he'll still be singing then. He'll still be singing in eternity. See what I'm saying? He says, "as long as I have my being." Man is known as a human being. That's brilliant, isn't it? And so now I'm going to make a couple of crackpots angry. Because I know that there are people that, you know, mourn when they step on an ant because they've squashed life. And all life is precious. That kind of nonsense, right? It's funny, don't you think? I have never in all my reading heard a gorilla called a gorilla being. It's always human beings. I've never heard a chimp called a chimpanzee being. A feline being? I don't think a cat's even a being. A canine being, really? Insect beings? Rodent beings? The squirrels in my yard are not beings. They're pests. I'm saying that other earthly creatures, even, you know, just the way we use vocabulary, man seems to have a, whether he likes it or not, a consciousness of the fact that other earthly creatures down here are not referred to as beings. We are the beings, human beings, right? And I am aware, I looked into it a little bit, and they philosophically argue these things, and, you know, the argument about sentient beings, that is, creatures that have some self-awareness, you know, and some intelligence versus those that have true reasoning, creativity, intelligence, that sort of thing. You know, and they argue about this it's philosophically an argument. But by any usage of the word and by looking in the Word of God, we don't find spirit being, even spirit beings. We don't find spirit beings in the Bible. I find Satan, I find angels, right? But as far as something called a spirit being, I don't find that. Now, cockroaches and mosquitoes are not beings.
Amen.
They have life. They live, but they're not beings. And so, what the psalmist says here then with this led me to a train of thought. And so I just want to run some of this past you, and a little different than normal maybe, but I just want to preach about being for just a minute. And the first thing is it implies something. In verse 33 of Psalm 104, once again, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Okay, that being is then for him a personal possession. He controls the being. That is, he's held in trust. He's a steward of his being. Right? Does that make sense? There's a responsibility there. Apparently every man, woman, and child has a being that's not the same as a cat having a litter of kittens living. Right? Because that's not a being. Those are not beings. We're beings. And the only conclusion I could come up with is that he says, I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. It's almost like he suggests and implies that somebody could lose their being. I know what it says. It says, was it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The soul that sinneth, the Bible says, it shall die. Is that right? I believe that the verse implies that being relates to the soul. I don't need this much, but we know from 1 Thessalonians 5 that man is made up of is a tripart being, left in the aftermath of Adam and Eve's sin, still somewhat like God in the sense that he is... I didn't even mean to write that. Body, right? Soul and spirit. That is a man. Man is a tripart being. A JW didn't understand it, but they don't understand anything anyway. Right? Body, soul, and spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now, we also know God's a Trinity, correct? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay, here's man. Here's God. Spirit would relate to the Holy Spirit, correct? Body would relate to Jesus Christ, because Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He was God manifest in the flesh. That relates to body. If the man's tripart being relates to God's tripart, it does. Holy Spirit is obvious, but Christ would relate to God's body. So God would relate to God's soul. And what I thought about when I thought about that was, Moses comes along and says, you're going to send me back to Egypt to lead the children of Israel out of captivity. You haven't even told me your name. Why would they follow me? I don't even know your name. Who shall I tell them sent me? And God said these words, capital letters all, I am that I am. Now, I've often reflected on, okay, I am that I am. That's a strange phrase just out of nowhere, I am that I am. Is the inflection, tell them, I am that I am. I'm that one. That I am. Or is it, I am that I am? If it's, I am that I am, that's an acknowledgement that man knows there's a being. What does I am reflect except that God's a being? I am. And we know that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. I'm saying here that the Father relates to the soul. I think that being is your soul. David said, as long as I have my being, I will sing. We know a lot of people lose their souls. And I have more to say about that later. But animals don't have souls. Now, animals have spirits. Look in Ecclesiastes 3. Ecclesiastes 3. Ecclesiastes 3:21. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Even animals have spirits, but an animal doesn't have a soul. Only men have souls. I'm making the point that what is implied by David's statement that as long as I have my being, I will sing. As long as I have any being, I will sing. He's basically saying I'm going to be singing forever. Because we know that David's a saint. He's going to rise from the dead, right? Rule over Israel. And he's going to, as long as he has being, he has his own soul. God saved his soul. So he's going to be singing forever. Okay? That soul relates to God. Only men, though, have being. Men have life. Other things have life, but other things, I believe, don't have being. Right? Being is something loftier. Man is crowned, according to Psalm 2, with glory and honor. He's crowned with a high calling, with eternal purpose. He's crowned and made able to think and to reason. He has understanding, intelligence. He says, the ostrich runs off and leaves her eggs in the dust because she's stupid. She doesn't have any understanding. She doesn't know to put them up in the crotch of a tree or something so something can't get them. She doesn't know. She doesn't understand. He said, and man particularly is crowned with that, with hope, with a purpose that revolves around understanding the will of God. Man has being. And so that leads me to the second thing. That insinuates some things about hell. If you will, go back with me to Psalm 104. 104:33, and notice, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. Verse 33, I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. As long as I have it, and David's going to have it forever, because he didn't lose his soul. Right? Verse 34, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Let them be no more. Well, Brother Stevens, that's just talking about physical death. Well, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If soul is being, then a lost guy, when he loses his soul, he loses his being. And in verse 33, let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, let the wicked be no more. He loses his being. You know, the Bible talks about the second death four times in Revelation. It's not as simple as just laying down in the dust and dying. But somebody that's lost and damned before God dies twice. As I read it, that second death, that man doesn't just lose his soul. He loses his being. The Lord put it this way. Take your Bibles, turn over, if you will, to Mark 9. Mark 9. The greatest preacher on hell in the Bible, Jesus Christ, says this. Verse 43, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that can never be quenched. And then he adds, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. So it's an unquenchable fire, but don't you find it strange that he says, where their worm? Whose worm? The people that are there. They're no longer people. They're worms. When you squash a nightcrawler, do you go into grief? Because you've crushed out a sentient being? Of course not. Of course not. Because a worm's not a being. He says again in verse 46, where their worm dieth not, the fire's not quenched. Verse 48 again, where their worm dieth not, their fires and the fire's not quenched. Take your Bible back to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14 is the chapter where we're introduced to Satan, Lucifer rather, through the king of Babylon in verse 4. We talked about that recently. You'll notice in verse 9, hell from beneath is moved for thee, because the king of Babylon, Satan, being addressed through the king of Babylon, is cast down and goes to hell, right? Verse 11, thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. Look in Isaiah 66 real quick. Looking forward to a day where there is apparently a lake of fire in the millennium on this earth that people can go and peer into, and that they do peer into. It says down in verse 24, 65. Did I write that down wrong? 66. I'm sorry. 66. And maybe the new heavens and the new earth as well. But he's saying that I will make those. But as he gets down to verse 23, it says, it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. They shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. For just one more picture along that line, I am making the point that, you know, the rich man in hell, Bible says he lifted up his eyes, right? The rich man in hell says, send Lazarus to dip his finger in water that he may put it on my tongue. The rich man in hell still had eyes and a tongue. But what I'm reading in Isaiah 14 is there's no longer a body as we think of it. It's just a worm. Where the worm dieth not, the fire's not quenched. You know what I think? I think that David says, for as long as I have my being, as long as I have my soul, I'm going to sing unto the Lord. And somebody loses his soul, loses his being. I mean, he goes to hell where for a time he still has a tongue and hands and eyes and all those things. And if you were able to see it, apparently he'd have a human form. But as time progresses and as we go off into eternity, into a lake of fire, the Lord starts talking about just where their worm dieth not, the fire's not quenched. Here is Satan who falls, and the worms cover thee. Something more is going on there. Somebody doesn't just lose their soul. They lose their being. Now, have you ever thought about, you know, how horrible this is to think that an almighty God and a holy God would send people to hell to be in torments forever and ever and ever. And so the humanists and the slightly humanistic among us, who isn't a little bit humanistic about it, like, whoa, that's pretty serious, right? That's going pretty far. But what happens if when somebody dies and goes to hell? I mean, the Bible says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, not for men. And the Lord has given his very best, gave it all for sinners to come to him. He's given them plenty of time, too, by the way. And so finally the day comes, and depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And how could God then, throughout timeless eternity, know that he has sent souls, the souls of men, beings he created, to hell to have an endless burning torment? I was just thinking about it along these terms. It's an awful thing. But I don't think that the Lord laments the death of a worm at all. Oh, the earthworm I created, he got squashed. Aw. I bet it doesn't stop his day a bit. And so when a man loses his soul, in the end he ceases to be. And God doesn't even think about him anymore. Now, many are thy thoughts to usward. And even for lost people, I think the Lord thinks about them all the time. After all, he gave his son for them. But you go off unregenerate into hell. And from hell, it gets worse, to a lake of fire. I think you will be forgotten because you are no longer. You no longer are. You're not a being anymore. You are degraded to just a worm. Something beneath a beast. I don't think the Lord laments deer that get run over in the road. Because it's a brute beast made to be created and destroyed. Second Peter, a deer comes here, he's to be food for somebody. If not me, then a wolf or a cougar. Or roadkill. Buzzards. But It insinuates some things about hell. It insinuates that a man loses his being. He is no longer. And God just disassociates him. He is no longer a soul he created. He's just nothing. He's still sentient. We know for the second death, he's still conscious. He still hurts. He's still in agony. But it doesn't touch God's heart because he's not a being anymore. Let me show you just one other passage about this. Ezekiel 31. But Jesus said, where their worm dieth not. They're no longer men doing. Where the worm dieth not, the fire's not quenched. David said, as long as I have my being, I think that being is the soul. And a man that loses his soul, loses his being. Ezekiel. It's a big old book. I can't even find it. Ezekiel 31. In Ezekiel 31, it keeps talking about, first of all, in 31, he's talking about the Assyrian. It talks about him going to the nether parts of the earth in verse 14. I'm going to go fast here. Down to the pit. That's hell. Verse 15, 16, down to hell. That descend into the pit, verse 17, down to hell. It's hell. It's the nether parts of the earth in verse 18. It's hell, right? You move to chapter 32 and the focus becomes Pharaoh, who in verse 18 goes into the nether parts of the earth, down into the pit. It's hell. Verse 21, down to the midst of hell. Verse 24, to the nether parts of the earth. At the end of verse 24, go down to the pit. Verse 25, down to the pit. Verse 27, down to hell. Verse 29, go down to the pit. Then he says a strange thing. He says in verse 31, Pharaoh shall see them, those that go down to the pit, verse 30, and shall be comforted over all his multitude. I painted the picture this morning of somebody who loses his soul. And losing his soul, he's going to lose his being. He goes down, and Pharaoh, here a type of the devil, goes down to hell, and he's covered with worms from Isaiah 14. These are all the souls that are no longer souls. They're no longer beings. They're just worms. And Pharaoh, Satan, finds comfort in all those that have lost their souls. And they're no longer even beings. It's just a pile of maggots. It insinuates some things about hell. It implies some things about the being the soul. Will you retain your being? If you don't trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, there will be an eventual day that you will still hurt, you will still be tormented in this flame, but you will no longer be considered a being because you lost your being. Now, this alludes to something else. I've painted a pretty horrible picture, have I not? It alludes to the depth of Christ's substitution. Because according to 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Notice in Isaiah 53. Let me take you there and show you something. Isaiah 53. Something else he did we know about. All we like sheep in verse 6 have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Okay, we see that. Keep your finger in Isaiah 53, but turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Don't worry, there's not much more. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Okay, and Christ became our substitute. Is that right? Still with your finger in Isaiah for just one moment, I would like you to see Psalm 22. Psalms 22. That's not what I wanted. Turn with me instead. I'm sorry, I wrote something down wrong. Turn with me instead back to Isaiah 53 and verse 10. Now we know Jesus Christ bore a terrible brunt in his own body. He bore our sins in his own body, but it's more than that. Look in verse 10. In the same context, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You see that when he hath shalt make his soul an offering for sin. The verse I wanted from Psalm 22 was, I am a worm and no man, says Jesus Christ. I am a worm. I couldn't find it there for a second, so I'll just quote it. I am a worm. Remember, he said, where the worm by it dieth not, the fire is not quenched. On the cross, he said, I am a worm and no man. I am a worm and no man. Now, we know he was more than a man. We know that he was God. But he's relinquishing something there. He said, I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men despised by the people. And Isaiah says that God made his soul an offering for sin. Now, Jesus Christ was the great I Am. I am He. Blows them over, right? So He's the I Am. So I don't believe that Jesus Christ lost His soul. Because I don't think that He could. I don't believe that He lost His being. But He took it all on Himself. Because each and every one of us was going to lose His soul. And in losing our souls, we were going to lose our being. And He took it all on Himself. He said, I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men despised by the people. And God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, at the end of the chapter, verse 21, for He, God, hath made Him, Christ, to be sin for us. He became sin incarnate. He said, I am a worm. He became a worm. And He said hell was a place where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. And it said that He made His soul an offering for sin. Jesus Christ was flirted with that dark place where man loses his soul, and so losing it, he loses his being. And since Christ couldn't, we get our being back because He'll save our souls. But you play around with salvation like so many people do. You are flirting with going off into eternity and not just suffering agony forever. But I mean, as it said back in Psalm 104, the wicked shall not be. they lose their being. Now, there's something else that this indicates, and these will be very quick. Let me take you back to Psalm 104. Psalm 104. I said that what the psalmist implies is that the being is equal to the soul. You can lose your soul. In losing your soul, you can lose your being. I don't think you want to do that. You kind of like yourself, in fact. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. We think real highly of ourselves. The thought of somehow going off into somewhere forever and losing identity. Not just identity, but losing your being, where God doesn't even think of you because he's dismissed you because you turned down a gift. You turned down the sacrifice. You turned down something of such value that he gave his own son for it. And so he doesn't even think of it. You're not to him anymore. You're nothing. And his wrath just burns in hell because God is a consuming fire. And you just burn and burn and burn. And you lose your being. You're just a maggot. That's a far cry from a mansion in heaven. It really, really is. Now, I'll take you back to Psalm 104 and verse 33, where it says, now I'll be quick with this. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Psalm 146 says, while I have any being. Now, what it says in verse 33 indicates something about the greater purpose of life. This is a stark contrast to what we've been talking about so far. It's the other side of things. It's what life should be. It says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God as long as I have my being. David apparently is going to be singing and playing to his God throughout all eternity. As I read about the heavenly scenes in the Bible from Revelation, it sure looks like to me there's going to be lots of playing and singing. I'm talking about playing instruments and singing. I think that it's going to be an endless song service. And that'll be a cool thing because I like song services. But it indicates something about this life too, because look in Proverbs 27. And this will be the last place you have to turn tonight, this morning. Proverbs 27, indicates something about what you're supposed to be about. You'll question throughout your earthly life here as a saved person, what all should I be doing? Am I called to do something? Am I called to do something special or whatever? Maybe and maybe not. Look in Psalm 27, verse 21. I know this, you're called for this. David is singing praise to God as long as he has his being. He's going to have his being. His soul is saved. He's going to be around a really long time. Okay? But it says in Psalm 27, verse 21, as the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. David is singing praise to God in Psalm 104. And Psalm 146. Is he not? The Bible says, this is a great passage on life. I'm not going to go into it. I've preached entire sermons on this. But the fining pot is for silver. Put silver in the fining pot, and it cooks the silver, and it purifies the silver, and the bad stuff bakes off, and you skim it off, and you're left with purified silver by the time the process is over, right? As the fining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold, the same thing is done on a furnace for gold. Purification, skim off the bad. You're left with purer gold. As the fining pot for silver, the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. The man is likened to the fining pot and the furnace. Apparently, what our lives are about in the main is cooking off the impurities of our praise. So that as you progress through life, your praise gets purer and purer. That's what it says. And David says, as long as I have my being, I will sing praise. Your walk with God is supposed to, and whatever He allows you to go through, is supposed to purify your praise. You say, that is the broad vision for spiritual life? Pretty broad, yeah. Answers for a lot of things. All those questions about, you know, why did the Lord allow this to happen to this guy, and, you know, that dirt bag over there got away with it, and all that kind of stuff. Why does the Lord let good people suffer things? It's cooking praise. Purifying praise. What the psalmist said implies that the being is the soul, and that somebody can lose their being. So it insinuates some things about hell. I think eventually in the lake of fire, those beings become just worms, and they lose their being. And so the Lord doesn't have to think about them anymore. He doesn't think of them as people, as souls. It alludes to the depth of Christ's substitution. He became a worm. He walked up just as far as he could to the point of not being himself, so that he could take our burdens on himself. It indicates the whole purpose in life. What your life is about is cooking off praise, purifying praise. And there's one last thing that you couldn't leave off. It suggests a pretty awful ultimatum. Ian got 31 years to transact business with God. And he did. Yesterday was filled with, you know, his salvation and the fact that he would witness to a fence post if it walked into his hospital room. That's a great thing, right? That's a great thing. But most folks meander through life for 70 or 80 years and then fall off into eternity, where if this is right, they will not only lose their souls, but lose their beings, right? So you've got however long you've got, and you don't know how long you've got. If there's anybody here that's lost, let me tell you something. You are flirting with a disaster that you have not yet perceived. You're going to lose. It's not just a lake of fire. It's not just hell. You're going to lose yourself. You're going to lose your being. That thing that you've thought about most for your entire life, one day is just going to be this worm in agony, forgotten forever. Not a soul anymore. Not even a being anymore. Just this mass of agony who can't abide the presence of God. Our God's a consuming fire. And because He's not physical, it just burns and burns and burns. And for us, now are we the sons of God. Amen. Doth not yet appear what we shall be. And got a mansion waiting in heaven and promises stacked to the roof. Right? We are blessed with all spiritual blessings. With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, as long as I have my being, I will sing praise unto the Lord. Let's bow our heads and pray.